There we go. Okay, so tonight let's talk about a topic that is actually pretty fascinating. I think a lot of people do have interest when they go to Eretz Yisrael. It's certainly more interesting, I think, in general to Kohanim, and surprisingly none of us are here. But it's still, I think, a very interesting topic. And the question is, can Kohanim visit the cemetery, or at least not the whole cemetery, but graves of tzaddikim? The minhag Yisrael is to go to Kivrei Tzaddikim and to daven at the Kivrei Tzaddikim. I know when we discussed Machnisei Rachim, and we discussed whether one is allowed to request from the Nifter or not, we discussed that at great length. Regardless of what one is doing at the kever, it's quite obvious that this is a very old minhag. We find that Chazal tells Yehoshua did, Yirmiyahu did, so it goes way back. Darish Alameisim, the concern would be requesting something from a nifter. That can get into a little bit of a...
trying to converse with the deceased.
So if you go to the grave and you daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that Hashem should look at the zechuyos of the deceased, and perhaps the dead people somehow perhaps are able to understand that something's going on there and recognize, and they're compassionate, and they on their own, without being requested by the individual, go to HaKadosh Baruch Hu also to act on our behalf, that's certainly fine. There is some evidence that many Rishonim even were comfortable with requesting from the Nifter, but there are some guidelines behind that so that it shouldn't look like Avodah Zarah. And that's where it gets into how would one paskin in today's age. And that was the other shir, which we could repeat at another point in time if there's anybody wants. But either way, forgetting what one's doing there, it's clearly the minhag for a very long time. It's mentioned in many places in Chazal. So why would you think that a kohen is allowed to go? A kohen is not allowed to become tamei. That's not this week's parsha. That's in Parshas Emor. It says that to a deceased person, he's not allowed to become tamei. It's a mitzvah deraisa, and in fact, it's one of the few places clearly that is designated that even ketanim were more careful with them, and therefore ketanei kohanim, even though they're not bar mitzvah, in other cases where we find that we don't see specified, at least, that we would have to stop children from doing things, we're a little more strict because of the language used in Parshas Emor, indicating that there's a real hakpada. So the question is, where does this come from? There is, and we'll see, there is an opinion, it's been shared by many great Rishonim and debated by the Achronim, that they can go to the kvaros of certain tzaddikim, and we have to differentiate, perhaps, if possible. There's certainly going to be an area where who's a tzaddik and who's not a tzaddik, and that's a little difficult to really.
The hefter for a tzaddik is because
we'll get to it. I'm just setting it up right now, and that's really what I'm asking to start out here is why would one think that he's allowed to be mitame just for the purposes of davening, and therefore what would be the difference with tzaddik or somebody else? Why this week's parasha? Why am I talking about this now? It seems to be more pertinent either to chukas, which is paraduma, tumas meis, or emor, where the tzivoy to kohanim is found, that they're not allowed to become tamei. Because I figured it's an interesting topic, and we find in this week's parasha, at the beginning, it's Achrei Mos, after the death of the two sons of Aaron. They were Bekrovai Ekodesh, as mentioned in the Torah. They were considered Tzadikim, Gemurim. And interestingly enough, we find that there was a Hakpada that Aaron and the brothers, who were still alive, Allah Zerni Samar, we're not the ones to take Nadav and Avihu out of the Mishkan in order not to become Tamei to them. So that's something that we'll have to come back to, because we'll find, as I start leading into it, it's possible, according to some, Tzadiki might not be Metamei. So if there's no Tumah, we have to find out what's going on. So this week's parasha can get the ball rolling into this discussion. If we're going to say that a Kohen is not tzaddik is not Matame after he's dead, so why is it then that there was a Hakfada in this situation when it seems to be, Pasuk indicates that they were considered Kedoshim? Okay. There is a Gemara in Ksubis that talks about on the day that Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, the day he died, so it says, Batla Kedusha. Kedusha was, it ceased on that day. And there's a question, what does that mean? And Tosfos says in the first pshat, we find at the end of the Gemara of Sota, it discusses that when certain figures in Shas passed away, that there were certain qualities that they really personified, more so than anybody else, that perhaps in earlier generations they had more of a connection and more of an ability to rise up to that level of Kedusha or Tara or whatever it was. And that person was the last person that once that person died, that was it. We really don't have a good idea of what it means to be a Kedusha or Tara, whatever the situation is talking about there. So Tosa says, that's what it's referring to here, Rabbeinu HaKadosh. Kedusha was Basel once he was Nifter. But Tosa brings another pshat, and that pshat is that Kohanim were allowed to get involved with the Kura. On that day, it says, on that day, Kedusha's Kuhuna ceased. And Rabbeinu Chaim Cohen, who is one of the Bali Tosos, said, and obviously he's a Kohen, Rabbeinu Chaim Cohen, he says, had he been around when Rabbeinu Tam passed away, he would have gone and he would have been Metameh. So we see, perhaps, something in Shas, at least from Rabbeinu Chaim Cohen, from his perspective, that is allowing for something to happen. What exactly is happening? Well, it does say clearly in the Yerushalmi, similar to this second pshat of Tosos, that on the day that Rebbe died, Kedusha's Kuhuna ceased. So if it's Kedusha's Kuhuna, and it seems to be discussing the idea of burial, why would Kohanim be permitted? It must be, perhaps, that a Kohen is allowed to come into contact with a Tzaddik even after the Tzaddik has passed away.
So what was the Kedusha's Kuhuna was just bottled on that day.
So that, we'll revisit that.
For all generations.
So we'll revisit that. The first answer that Tosos gave definitely indicated that Kedusha stopped on that day and did not continue. He compares it really to all the other cases we have in Sota, where there is somebody who personified a certain quality. That's it, exactly. But Lanava, humility, like Anna, the Gemara says over there, whatever, exactly. You know, it's we feel like we're out of touch with these qualities, these very, you know, important qualities, that even what we have nowadays doesn't really come close. It pales in comparison to what these individuals had in previous years. So it sounds like it's gone. So if that's true, then Batla Kedusha, if the same translation should be used in the second Teretz of Tosos, then it would be indicating that there is no Tumah, or if there is Tumah, that there's a heter for the Kohanim to become Tameh. Now, if there is Tumah, that's going to take a lot. In terms of the Pasuk in Emor says, doesn't say he shouldn't touch a mace, it says he should not become Tameh to a mace. So, the easiest way, so to speak, to get around the Isser would be if we could find out a way that he would not become Tameh, and then he would be able to come and touch the mace, or whatever he would need, or come in contact with the Kever.
It's Tameh himself.
That's a different story we'll get to. Fine. Towards the end. Zariah is like that, maybe. So that is the starting point. Now, before we get to Shitas, who really espouse this, let's first back up for a second and see that there is another way to read this sugya. And that would be from the perspective of the Ritva and the Ran, and it would seem that this is how the Rambam paskins, that similar to what you were saying, that day Kedusha was batal, and then we would have to assume that the first teretz and the second teretz of Tosfos are slightly different in the way they're translating the words, which isn't really difficult at all. But what would be the heter that day? What's the difference that day or any other day? So the Ritva and the Ran, the way they understand the sugya, and this is halacha l'maisa also brought by the Rambam, and you know, this would be how it would work. When a nasi passes away, so they made him a su'uk meis mitzvah, is the halacha. He's like a meis mitzvah. It's not sufficient for the kavod of the nasi when he passes away that only some of the people come to the levaya, etc., and be osik in the kvura. And therefore, if let's say there's one person walking down the street and he sees a mace, and he's not capable of burying the mace, they don't know who it is, and there's a kohen. If you need two people to bury the mace, then the kohen can be metame. You can't say, oh, one of us will be metame, not the other, because it's not going to effectively get the kvura done if we're dealing with a situation where they need two people, and these are the only two people. So in a situation where all of Klal Yisrael has a responsibility to be osek for the kavod of the nasi, and he's a mace mitzvah in that regard, so then he's a mace mitzvah, and kohanim are allowed to be mitami. That's how the Ritva and the Ran learn the sugya. What's Rabbeinu Chaim Cohen saying then? Had he been around when Rabbeinu Tam was nifter? He's saying, because I feel that the kavod of one of the Gedolei Hador, of the stature of Rabbeinu Tam, is comparable to a nasi, and even though the first day in Tosfos obviously doesn't agree to this, because he didn't say this pshat, nevertheless, I feel that we can take from Nasi and apply it even farther to not just even the Gemara. The first verse was even discussed on the Gemara, but we can take it past Nasi and even take it down to a tremendous Talmud Chacham. How one knows how to be Magdur this, you know, is a little difficult, but we'll at least let Rabbeinu Chaim Cohen use his judgment, which is interesting because he doesn't say, I want to go to Rabbeinu Tam's kever and daven there. He just said, I'd been around when he was nifter, I would have been mitami. So it leans towards that also. And in fact, this is how the Beis Yosef learns the sugya. However, the Rishash learns the sugya the first way we saw it, which is that it was a heter for Kohanim to be mitami, because there's no tumah. And we find, we showed him, perhaps quoting from Chazal also, that tzaddikim are not metame. That's a lashon used. Now it's a very vague lashon, what that means. Is it to be taken halachically? Is it just to be taken, you know, to learn some sort of lesson? But some of the Rishonim, as we'll see, took it very literally, that they're not metame, at least be'ohel. So if you come into the same room, or at the kever, it's not going to be a problem. If that's the case, and that's how the Rishash learns the sugya, so then one is allowed to be mitame. What's the svara behind this? So, the Ramban, in the beginning of Parshas Chukas, tells us that Tumas Misa comes from the Malach HaMavis. Therefore, if somebody doesn't die because of the Malach HaMavis, meaning Misas Neshika, he dies from the kiss of the Kadosh Baruch Hu, which we know, the Gemara certainly tells us, Moshe died in that fashion, Miriam, Aaron. So then it's Hashem himself taking the Neshama, there's no Malach HaMavis involved, and in such a case, there's no Tumah. Now, the Ramban says, Min Hadin, there is no Tumah. He's giving a parish on Chumash, and he's not necessarily applying it la halacha, and it's a little vague also. However, Rabbeinu Bechaya, if you look in Karakemach, at the end of Ava, which is talking about Ava Hashem, it's organized alphabetically about different items one can work on, or different times of the year, what to focus on. It's a good Musar Sefer, written by Rabbeinu Bechaya, who's the Talmud of the Rashba, who's the Talmud of the Ramban. His writing style and content was certainly influenced in many degrees by the Ramban. And oftentimes he gives more explanation from a concept that the Ramban said very succinctly. So the Rabbeinu Bechaya says that if somebody dies with Nisus Neshiga, there's no Tumah, and therefore Kohanim are allowed to, you know, be Osek in the Kvura, etc. And that's what the Gemara says when Rabbi died, because Rabbi died the Mises Neshika. So we see now that Rabbeinu Bechaya is applying very directly the concept of the Ramban.
How did the Gemara know that there was can I ask a question? How did Rabbi Bechaya Makoli know that there was Neshika?
I don't know. I'm not qualified to answer that. But however he would know, he would use his judgment. Once again, I think this is going to severely limit our abilities to apply this halacha, because who can we say we can be mitami to?
We definitely say this is neshika and not malach
alavis. I mean, who could we say? We could say Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam for sure. After that, even with the avos, etc., it seems to be somewhat of a machlokas rishonim, as we'll see. But nevertheless, at least let's go with the Ramban's pshat. And Rabbeinu Bechaya, let's really give it to him, because he elucidated more and he applied it to Rabbi. We see it's being applied to Talmidei Chachamim, and at least of significant stature. So within that Mahalach, we can already see an opening here, perhaps, from Arasa Machpela and Kevarach, which was the topic of the Shira. Can Kohanim go there specifically, and also to Kivrei Tzaddikim in general. Now, there's a Medrash on Mishlei, discusses that when Rabbi Akiva was incarcerated, so his Talmud Rabbi Yoshua Garsi would come every day, and then Erev Yom Kippur he went home. Eliyahu Navi came to Rabbi Yoshua and he said, "Rabbi Yoshua, I'm a Kohen and you gotta go. Let's go. Rabbi Akiva was nifter. We have to bury him. So come with me." And they go to bury him. Rabbi Yeshua says, "Eliyahu, you're a Kohen. You can't do this." To which he responded, "Tamidei Chachamim v'tamideim aren't metame." Now, when we go back to Parshat Emor, this reads beautifully, because the Torah was makbid not to say don't come into contact with a mace. It says don't be metamis to a mace. I don't know where to draw the line, but already now we see from this Medrash it's not as defined. We're already at least seeing some leeway to expand it even more, it would seem, than Rabbeinu Bechaya and the Ramban. Tosfos does address this Medrash elsewhere. He discusses and says that no, Eliyahu Navi, he really is a Kohen, and he was talking about Yeshua, he just needed to get things done. So he's Madchin. He kind of pulled the wool over Rabbi Yeshua's eyes, and really Rabbi Kiva is a Meis Mitzvah. So that's how he gets out of it. And Tosfos, we find Bava Basra elsewhere, does say sometimes Eliyahu Navi, when something needed to get done, the other person didn't really need to know at that point in time, he may say something just to, so to speak, get them off his back. And really the answer there isn't to be taken mahalach. That's how Tosfos addresses it. It is of note, there's an Avnei Nezer who doesn't seem to have a basis really from the Rishonim, we're looking at least not textual basis, but in Svari he comes out that there's only two ways why somebody should be mitame. This is based seemingly more on mystical concepts, which one can address whether we can take these ideas and apply them, you know, lahalacha. But keep in mind, the halacha here is predicated on, the pasuk says, he cannot become tameh to a mace. So he says the tumah comes from either the three drops of Sam that comes out of the Malachim Avos sword, or from Chet that the person has himself. Therefore, if you have somebody of significant stature, the Chet aspect isn't going to be applicable, but he still has the Malachim Avos aspect. So he comes out and says, if you have anybody who didn't die because of the Malachim Avos and was a Tzadik Gamur, they won't be Metameh. Who is that? So we've already discussed Neshika. But perhaps that opens up the case for perhaps even Rabbi Akiva. Because we know he was killed. They raked his skin apart. He wasn't killed by the Malachim Avos. He was killed Bidei Adam. Obviously, Tosos wasn't comfortable with this because Tosos rejected Eliyahu's answer by saying it wasn't meant to be taken in all seriousness. Nevertheless, that is the Avnei Nezer's idea, and that which Rabbi Akiva didn't start learning until he was 40, so oftentimes people assume he was a Rasha before then, and that's clearly not the case. Tosos even points out, he was Shomer Torah Mitzvos, he just wasn't a Talmid Chacham. And even if he had any issues from beforehand, presumably he would have done tshuva before the time that he passed away. So in terms of that, the Avnei Nezer would work beautifully with this. However, we see Tosos didn't go with it, and the other Rishonim, who we've seen allowing Heterim for Kohanim to come into contact with Mesim, Tzadikim Mesim, so they've only applied it to Mises Neshika. They didn't apply it anywhere else. It could be for this exact reason that the Avnei Nezer are saying. The only people who are Zocha to Neshika are people who the Chet is really over with, so to speak, for whatever reason, and would not have caused Tumah, and the Neshika shows it's not the Malachim Avos. So it could be that that's, you know, Nichol in it, but it's certainly not expressed outright by those Rishonim. So, to whom would this apply? Who knows? Tanoim, perhaps. We see that these Rishonim are definitely applying to them. Avos, the Avos certainly are people we can discuss, and Imos. So Maras HaMachpela and Kever Rachel. Now what's interesting is there's Gemara in Yevamos, it's also found in Bava Basra. Rabbi Bona, he's a colleague of Rabbi Yochanan, maybe a drop older, but he's that same time period, the first generation of Amoraim. He went to mark the graves of the Avos.
Who's this?
Rabbi Bana, or Bina. He's Bana. He's a chaver of Rabbi Yochanan. So he was in Eretz Yisrael, and he went and he marked the graves where they all are. The Gemara has a very agadotaic story as to what happened there, and he had discussions with some of them, but the question is, what was he doing? Rashi says, so that people should be careful not to be tamei. Kohanim should be careful. And Tosos addresses this also. He wonders, why are they mitamei? Because they passed away before Matan Torah, and he has to come out with Teirutim, because one would have thought that there's a possibility that Mesim from before Mount Torah, that none of them are Metame, and Tosos discusses why these Mesim are Metame. And therefore, we definitely see Rashi and Tosos, as we've already seen, the Ritva and the Ran learned with Rebbe, that was an issue of just a mace, being a Meis Mitzvah, having nothing to do with not being Metame. It was being Metame, but a Meis Mitzvah coin can be Metame too. Here we see, you could have said that the Ran and the Ritva would agree by the Avos. Maybe they just didn't know if Tanaim or Zachata. So the Avos, we already see it's getting pushed back. Now, once again, Moshe, Miriam, and Aaron, clearly, by them, there's no machlokas that they had Neshika. When we get them, I have no idea. Maybe the Ran and the Ritva would agree. But already now, we see that Rashi and Tosos are extending this halacha at least to the Avos. And presumably the same would apply to the Imos, who are also in Maras HaMachpelah, and Kever Rachel, having Rachel Imenu. So it seemed to be a machlokas. Now, halacha l'maisa, how do we paskin? So it's interesting, because you would have thought that Beis Yosef clearly, as we mentioned before, learned the sugi and ksubos, and that one way that it was an issue Rabbeinu Chaim Cohen was just trying to extend the idea of meis mitzvah to Talmud Chacham or Gadol Ador, as opposed to just a dinan and nasi. So you would think that that's only applicable at the time of the Gevura, and even then, I think in today's day and age, as we've all expressed pretty much without even having to really, you know, think about it too hard, I think nobody would really feel comfortable nowadays that there's anybody who qualifies. So the biggest tzaddik today, I don't think anybody would feel comfortable. The tzaddik himself would not feel comfortable. And I'm not talking about even Midin Anova. I'm talking about Midin. He just wouldn't know that he would be comfortable with allowing that even b'shas kvur. And therefore, la'alocha l'maisa would seem that way. However, we find Bnei Yisachar says that the Midin Gneret Yisrael is their mako. However, nowadays, the minhag for the most part is their machmir. We find the Stechemet and others who lived in Eretz Yisrael were machmir and dealt with the shayla. So it would seem that either there were different rumors as to what the minhagim were in Eretz Yisrael, or the minhag continuously was changing, or perhaps different areas of Eretz Yisrael had different minhagim. I don't know. But when it comes down to it, we're left now really without being able to have the minhag to be machriya. At best, we would be left with a suffix deraisa, and therefore, it would be usher for a kohen to go to such places. I do believe there are some poskim who allow it, and therefore, I wouldn't stop somebody. Clearly, yesh lehem almi lismoch, but I would not encourage it, and.
Because we're questioning whether there did tzaddikim earn that right validation?
No. I mean, there are clearly shitos, like the Ramban, or at least the way Rabbeinu Bachai expressed it, that are allowing Tanoim, they're giving the status to Tanoim already, so I don't think it's unreasonable to say that the Avos would be similar, and therefore it's Machlokas Rishonim. We find there have been Minhagim both ways in practice, so the fact that somebody would pass nowadays, the kula, I wouldn't stop them. But if you ask me, I don't feel compelling to allow somebody because we've seen a major machlokas, and essentially a good majority of Rishonim weren't very comfortable, at least by Tanoim. We see Rashi, Tosos, the Ran, the Ritva, you know, the Rambam doesn't seem to mention this, the Beis Yosef, we're already now dealing with the Shulchan Aruch. But he really went more with the you know, the more stringent side of this. So, you know, therefore I would feel very uncomfortable monitoring it. Keep in mind, there are other rayas. Another raya is we find that in Parshas Balosha, so some people needed to do Pesach Sheni. Who were they? So one of the days in the Gemara is they were the people who were carrying Yosef. So Yosef, who's called Yosef HaTzadik, so obviously his bones were metame. Otherwise, what are we dealing with? So if you want to start making it a machlokas in Tanaim, or in the Gemara, excuse me, already, and say that's part of the machlokas in the Gemara, there why there are different answers given, you know, it's getting a little more convoluted to try to read it in. But at the same time, I firmly believe there has to be something to respond to that, because the Ramban and Ben Bechaya were clearly aware of that Gemara. This is a Beferish Gemara. There, you know, there are certain things you can ask, and certain things it's just you assume that, you know, their scholarship was clearly has been proven to the fact that something that obvious, you know, it would be very astounding if, so to speak, they missed that. So I don't know how they learned that sugya, but you know, they do seem to apply it even more. However,
are you really at the Kever?
So I'm not sure. You're definitely in a building.
First question: do we know this is truly Maras HaMachpelah?
So that was the next part that I was going to get to. The buildings that you're in are buildings, and keep in mind if there's something under it, depending on how underneath is constructed, and you know whether.
You can ask Akash anywhere you step in there and just try to farm around.
Correct, but you don't have to assume that they're there. You know, it's Becheskes Tara. So let's just deal with some other possible svaras and see where they go, both of which pretty much you've already mentioned, and just bring some substance, not that they weren't substantive in svara, but just bring some deus who have said them. The Ravid it seems to really be a das yachid, but the Ravid holds that once a kohen's tamei, there's no iser to become tamei again. Now, there's a difference if a kohen is touching a mace to touch another mace at the same time. Meaning, let's say if a kohen is burying his father, where he has a heter and a chiv to become tamei in order to facilitate it, while he's actually touching the mace to touch another mace is one thing. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a situation where he's not touching a mace currently. He's just become tamei to a mace and has never had paraduma sprinkled on him and has never gone through the tire process. Can he become tamei again? So all the Rishonim seem to say it's usur, with the exception of the Ravid. The Ravid says it's mutter. Now, if he's touching a mace to touch another mace is another issue, and that's something that some Rabbanim try to deal with Kohanim. They try to do shtick for Kohanim going to medical school in order to be able to perform autopsies. That's a totally different sukkah, maybe a different evening. But here, the Ravid says it's mutter. We don't paskin like the Ravid. But can we make a sveik sveika? Safek if the halach is like the Ravid or the other Rishonim. And even if the halach is like the other Rishonim, that it's aser, maybe it's mutter like the Rebbe in Vachaya. We see precedent for this. Achronim try to do this. You know, there's a machlokas whether or not a goy is metami tumas ol. Tumas maga, with the exception of the Uraim, all the Rishonim hold tumas maga is aser with a goy for a kohen. But tumas ohel is debated. It's machlokas of Rishim Bar Yochai and Rishim Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. And it's machlokas Rambam and tells us how to paskin. So there are like the Dagon Rivava and others who say maybe we can make a fake sega with this Ravid. But at the end of the day, they're not comfortable with it. And nobody's really been comfortable with just using the Ravid. Maybe if you have like 20 other sekas, then they throw it in for good luck, so to speak. But just the straight fake sega, they're not comfortable. And therefore, even with that, even with a Kohen, to become Tame, Tumas Maga means to touch a mace of a guy, nobody matters, to be in an ohel or in a cemetery, so that already maybe Bishas Hadchak is what to deal with because of this and other issues involved, but just for sake to go to Kivrei Tzadikim, it would not seem reasonable when these Gedolei Echronim and, you know, up until pretty much the present, but nobody really felt comfortable even with those fake sekas when there was really pressing need. Certainly here, it would not be considered a pressing need. But then the question arises, is anybody really buried there? So, I can't tell you with other, marked graves across the country in Eretz Yisrael, some of them we have better Mesorah than others. Let's just focus on Maaseh Machpelah and Kever Rachel. Kever Rachel, it seems to be Machlokas Rishonim. The Ramban discusses that he attributes Maaseh Machpelah, Kever Rachel being in one area, in the Shevet Binyamin's territory, and then in his Perush and Chumash he says, but now that I've come to Eretz Yisrael, I recognize it's close to pretty much where we're saying it is. And, that's the Mesorah that's been here, and that's really where it is. So he believed it was there, and he describes it, and he describes this sort of monument that we know seems to have been built there. There's a medrash that discusses Yaakov and the Shvatim making a monument in that area. And that seems to be what some type of monument like that in that area, and the same tradition, essentially, was kept on being passed down until Moses Montefiore had the building built, and now it's with all the security measures and everything else that's built around it, but that original building that you see in the old school pictures...
Is that Moses Montefiore?
Which one? Yes.
Oh.
So he was instrumental.
The dome. In it.
Correct. The famous, the dome, right, you see in the old pictures. So, you know, there's a tradition that it's there, but it's clearly Mechalokas. We find Midrashim that have some, you know, saying that Kever Rachel is in Shevet Binyamin. There's a Rashi that makes it seem as if it's in Chutz La'aretz, and the Rashi goes with that also. We've discussed that in the past, what that could mean, because the Pasuk says it's in Eretz Canaan. But either way, it's disputed, but there is a tradition that the Ramban felt was valid enough that to matter coins go there is you know, a little questionable in that the minhag in Klal Yisrael is to accept as if to be machzik as if there's a mace there. Marisam Achvela, the minhag in Klal Yisrael is to be machzik that there's a mace there. However, I just want to raise one question. We mentioned that Gemara earlier, Rabbi Bona went and he marked the Kivrei Avos. He marked it off. Why? There's a building on top of it. So you say, because the building came after Rabbi Bona. So you're not just Tamei B'Tumas Ol when you're on top of the building. Ask anybody if you take a tour of Chevron, that building seems to have been built by Hordus. Hordus lived at the time of Baba Ben Buta, who was the Talmud of Shammai. And he also, you know, redid the entire Beis HaMikdash. Rabbi Bona, as I said earlier, was pretty much a chaver of Rabbi Yochanan, who was in Amora, long time afterwards, and the building is standing. So what's the need to mark those sites?
We're in the building.
Okay, but if you're in the building, you have a problem. So it could be, first of all, there is a courtyard area, and there are areas where there's open roofs, you know, and I don't know how much of the building was done by Hordus, and exactly, you know, which areas had roofs, which didn't. And also, there are issues that you could raise with how things are in the cave when they were originally buried that may be problematic. I'm just raising an issue like that. So is it enough that you would feel comfortable? I wouldn't feel comfortable to allow a coin to go there. There's definitely a minig that Klal Yisrael has. We know the Masas Binyamin, who lived in the times of the Rishonim, Binyamin of Tudela, he went, traveled all over the known world, and he writes of his travels. It's pretty fascinating. He writes about the various communities that he went to and their different traditions, and some Jewish communities, some non-Jewish communities. It's really a pretty fantastic small work, and you really get a lot for the customs of the places, and some things that you think, certain customs that you think maybe, so to speak, died out in the times of the Gemara, or even earlier, you see were still happening in certain places. It's pretty interesting like that. So he mentions and describes what's very likely pretty much where we have Marisa Machpela. You know, it's also possible there are other graves in the area, so I wouldn't recommend, even though we have more than two suffiks at this point in time. You know, Klal Yisrael has pretty much accepted as a place of tefillah that these are, you know, mekamos that are kedoshim, and to be designated if they are buried there, if they're not, if they are, then they certainly are, and we treat it with that deference, and therefore, you know, I don't think a kohen should go there. If somebody asks me, I think it's usur for a kohen to go to these places. If somebody hears of other kohenim going there, I don't think it's a problem if they have a valid psak from, you know, somebody competent. And I don't think therefore it would be lifnei iver to bring a kohen in, because we find precedent of gedolei chronim even testifying that the minhag in Eretz Yisrael was a certain way, which was to be megel. And therefore, even though that's not normal, but nowadays for the most part, but if somebody would have such a psak, it's not, so to speak, asur from Yesham Milas Moch, and then you can throw in the rive and all that other stuff. So I don't think it would be.
When you say Masik, I mean again, we don't know exactly where the kever is, and it could be like.
Right, but the tumma, might be,
you know, over, I don't know, miles.
But
of dirt.
The tumma might go all the way into the building, and once the tumma is in the building, if it would expand throughout the entire building, tumas ohel, so then the whole thing would be a problem.